This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Julie Heath from UC and Kenneth Webb from Fifth Third are joining us this afternoon as we talk about how to help students manage their finances so they can avoid running into trouble with credit and debit cards. You can join the discussion at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And we have an email question from Bob that is really a good question. He'd like to get both your takes on this. He says, do the guests think there is a totally different attitude about money and credit with today's generation versus the previous generation?
The research shows that's the case. That's an excellent question. What we know when you survey people, when you survey respondents about two aspects, both what they actually know and what they think they know, you see some really interesting differences. The curve is U-shaped, in fact. The young folks, people just coming out of high school, just coming out of college, don't know a lot, and they know that they don't know a lot. Knowledge rises into the middle years, so middle-aged folks know more, and that pretty much tracks with what they actually or what they think they know. But an interesting split occurs as people get older, as they move past retirement years. Their actual knowledge dips, but interestingly, they think they know a lot more than what they actually know. We're not quite sure why. I think part of the generational differences is goes back to, I hate to keep going back to this, but to the Great Depression. It was just a different culture. And it used to be that credit was used to buy a house. And that's pretty much it. You didn't buy a Big Mac with it. And now the culture is completely different.
Right.
Credit isn't used for those extraordinary, life-changing kind of investments. It's used for Big Macs and Starbucks.
Right. My grandparents always amazed me because their attitude toward credit was two words: last resort.
Last resort.
Right. That was the only thing they would use it for.
You saved up until you could afford it, and the culture's very much changed. But on the other side of things, the financial services industry, the products that are out there are so much more complex than what they used to be. I mean, up until a few years ago, a derivative was something you did in calculus class, right? It was not any kind of financial instrument. So I think people may overthink, they may overestimate their knowledge of what's going on. But I think that's a reflection of they just haven't been able to keep pace with what's actually out there that's available to
right.
them.
And one of the things I think is essential is that the baby boom generation understood what it meant to save and to save for a rainy day. My generation was probably the generation that said, if it rains, we'll just play in it. But we're not going to save for it. And so we spent and we spent and we spent and we spent. And then the generation that came after us is a byproduct of that. And so the whole fact is now is if we don't have it, just get credit and we get more of it.
Yeah. And that what you're starting to touch on goes to the other part of Bob's question, which is are kids today not as aware of earning and saving money? And have parents done them a disservice by giving them money without teaching them about
right.
earning it? That was the other part of his question. So what do you
well,
think about?
I can just talk about the debit card period. Let's talk about when I swipe a card, do I feel any pain from swiping a card? Like if I had $20 cash and I gave somebody $20 and they gave me a dollar back, well, I felt the pain of that transaction. But a swipe, you're not going to feel any pain. So this plastic has to the point of detriment, has gotten people with a sense of convenience, but also a lack of responsibility with that. And so when you swipe a card, you just walk out and you didn't feel anything. There was no attachment to that $20 or that $100 bill that you had because it's gone.
And you don't have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the time to think about it. So you log on and your profile's already there at a website. Your credit card information is stored. One-click shopping. So
yeah.
There's no time that needs to elapse between, oh, I want to have this, and you can expect delivery in 2 days, right? No time has elapsed in that decision. So I think part of it is that we haven't done a good job teaching our kids that, yeah, you need to earn this, but just the instantaneous nature of our communications with each other, with vendors, has just eliminated that thoughtfulness.
Let's just go back to my generation, and everything was instant. You know, my generation was a generation that had the microwaves. So when I was in college, thank God for a microwave, because everything had to be done instant, because you didn't have time to, you know, prepare a meal or go to the cafeteria and prepare a meal. Everything was done in the dorm. You had a quick a soup lunch or a soup or chili, and you put it in the microwave and take it right back out. The same transferred over to everything that we do financially. Mm-hmm. And it's all about, I ain't got time to, you know, count the money out and count change and do all that kind of stuff. I just give you this, swipe this card and walk out. So, yeah.
419-7100, 513-419-7100. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Kenneth, when do you start teaching kids about finances? Is there an age where you think it's appropriate to start?
Once they start talking. Because you got to understand, at that age, you can tell them, you know, you don't need all the toys in the store. You need one or two. And then that need versus wants starts to understand not only that, but understanding what it means as they get older, if they have an allowance or if they have a budget, to create a budget and help them that they learn how to save. Because if they learn how to save, then when they get older, they'll be a lot more frugal with the things they spend and some of the things they think they don't spend. Because some of the spending habits are because of self-esteem, which is another story in itself. Because a lot of times people spend because they want to impress people. But I got this whatever, and it makes me feel better now because I went and got this whatever. Or if I'm dealing with some issues, I'll go out and spend some items and buy some items at a store because it makes me feel better. So if we can help them to understand early, the earlier the better. Before you have that other talk with them, have this talk with them as far as their financial needs and financial literacy, because it's sometimes it's a matter of life and death.
Julie, do you agree with?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it can be simplified into one concept. If we taught our kids the concept of opportunity cost, then all of this would go away to a very large extent. Opportunity cost is your next best alternative. In other words, if you make a choice of A, what are you giving up? What's the next best alternative? You're giving up B. So helping kids in all different kinds of contexts, not just the ones having to do with money, but in all different kinds of contexts, okay, you're choosing this. That means you're not going to do this. Is that worth it? That's it. It's very simple. So you're choosing to wear this. That means you're not wearing this. You're okay with that? Just getting that mindset, getting kids used to thinking about choices in that way, in a critical thinking, thoughtful, structured way. Then when it comes to time when they have their own money to spend, do I want to spend it on this or this? So if I pick this, that means I'm not choosing. They automatically become more thoughtful consumers and more prudent savers and all of the other things that we really want them to be.
And I think also what's key is that the parents model that before them. Because no matter how much education we see, you know, if somebody tells you, you know, don't go drinking and driving. But every time I see mom and dad and they're out drinking and driving, and how am I going to profess that to them when they see me doing otherwise? So the key also is that the parents, they have to show that, emulate that to the kids before them, because they always bring it back up. Well, you never did that. So how are you going to tell me to do it? You know, but the key is that not only the education, but showing that for the actual child to see and emulate that as they continue to grow up.
And Kenneth, Alice sent us a question. She wanted to know, you were talking about the Ramsey course earlier, and she wants to know, can students take the Ramsey class somewhere other than in school?
Not in, well, we have a connection with all the schools through the LAMPRO group. That's where he's connected with. And so I'm sure that you can go to his website. And so my first introduction to the day Ramsey was in my church. Mm-hmm. So she might want to check her church and check a church in that area. They might have that actually, because financialpeace.com is another way to go out and find out if there's something out there in her neighborhood or somewhere in her neighborhood that can actually help her with that situation.
What are what are the first things that parents should teach their kids about money? What do you think that is? What's the key thing?
It's a tool, and sometimes it's a gift. And the reason why I say it's a tool to exchange products or exchange what services or whatever the case might be, but sometimes it's a gift too, because I think as a child, you don't understand that. I thought, you know, money was just given to you.
You
know,
you thought it really did grow on trees.
Well, I never did find the tree, though. I was looking back for the tree. My wife teaches me that all the time about the money grows on trees, and then my parents bring it up to me all the time about, you know, you thought that. And I said, you thought that because you never did see somebody get the paycheck. You never did see somebody work for the hours that they got the paycheck. And today you really don't see a paycheck. You just, everything's online, everything's direct deposit, so you really don't see anything. So I think the key is to help kids understand those two facets and never take it for granted.
I think along with opportunity cost, the conversation that parents need to have with their kids is about the development of human capital and exactly what you were just talking about, Kenneth, which is, this is what I do for a living, and maybe not, depending on the age, exactly this is what I earn, but this is the lifestyle that what I do allows us.
Right.
You know, this is what we do. This is what I do in my job. And because when you talk to kids about developing their own human capital, relating it to what your human capital is, I think that's a very empowering thing. I mean, human capital is something that you can actually control to some extent, right, how much you get. So I think allowing children to understand that a lot of their future is within their control. Just develop your human capital, and it leads to this and this and this. That's a very transformative conversation that parents can have.
I think that's good advice. Cody sent us a question. He wants to know, Kenneth, do you have much experience or knowledge of Junior Achievement's financial ed programs?
Yes, we have. But I'm how can I word it and be nice to Cody? I'm a proponent for Young Bankers Club, because we take what JA has done and we put it, it's like JA on steroids. I tell people that all the time, because where they might have like a one and done, we do for 10 weeks. And so we develop a relationship with the actual students, and then we also develop a relationship to help them understand. Because if I'm attached to it, then it'll continue to go with me. And as we continue to plant that seed, it continues to grow and to nurture. And we continue to nurture that seed, it continues to flourish. And then you have an actual group of individuals, and you have a community of individuals that are not only educated, but understand the real essence of what it means to be financially literate.
So the key thing is educate yourself. Julie and Kenneth, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Julie Heath is the director of the Economic Center at UC, and Kenneth Webb is director of the 5th Third Young Bankers Club.